help at this point in time, where we've got to put forward proposed structures and mechanisms to the SARB to consider as to how we rescue the bank and take it forward, or whatever that mechanism needs to look like. So that's a short synopsis. I'm happy to make available my CV or any team member's CV or SMG CV on working on financial institutions. Thank you.
It's a personal question. The committee in its entirety has not requested CVs of any other people.
No, no, just what this gentleman is a banker or not. So he's not a banker.
There is no law that says for now you must come and provide a CV because you are not interviewed by this committee. So it's just a personal ambition to know. So it's only that. Kevin?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on the 11th of March, when we put the bank under curatorship, we did release the CV of Mr. Rupla publicly. So it was part of the documentation we released on the day of curatorship. Chair, I repeat that it is not fair to say that there was no action that has been taken. Right? There is an ongoing supervisory process, and in these supervisory processes, we had intense discussions with the bank about how it plans to rescue itself. At the end of the day, the job of the supervisor is to tell the bank, to in some cases instruct the bank, in some cases give advice to the bank, but we don't run the bank. I should also point out that this is a mutual bank. It's not a bank under the Banks Act. Right? The powers under the Mutual Banks Act are less intrusive than under the Banks Act. That's why we were trying to put pressure on them to become a bank, become a commercial bank, and because we think that they became too big for a mutual bank. Mr. Schlumber, you ask a very good question. You know, what happens if any bank is lying? What happens if the data that we're receiving from Capitec or from Standard Bank or from Citibank is untrue? Do we not verify this? I'll make 2 points. The first is that we do have processes to attempt to verify the data. The audited financial statements are one such process. Meeting the audit committees and interrogating the audit committees is another such process. For a commercial bank, we have to approve the chair of the audit committee. Right? We have to approve the external auditor for a commercial bank. For a mutual bank, it's slightly less intrusive. It is. That's just the legal framework. But yes, it is possible that a bank is lying. Right? For a large bank, let's take Standard Bank as the biggest South African bank. The team that supervises Standard Bank consists of about 6-7 people, plus they have access to a specialist department. Let's call it another 3. So let's say they're 10 people. That excludes AML, CFT stuff. The amount of time that we allocate to a small bank like VBS is probably half, maybe even a third of a person a year. And so maybe we need to raise our game on that field. Right? Maybe we need more capacity, especially when it comes to small institutions. That's something we've certainly asked. Chair, the last question is on the commission. The MIBOR inquiry did look at whether there were processes internal to the regulator that contributed. He raised 2 issues. You yourself are very well aware of that. The SARB's approval of the Ellerines acquisition and the approval of Tami Sakutu as chief risk officer. The Mutual Banks Act doesn't have any clause that allows the governor to appoint a commission of inquiry in the same way. So we are going to be using the Financial Sector Regulations Act, which allows both the governor and or the CEO of the Prudential Authority to institute an investigation into the internal workings of the regulator on whether we and I certainly think we can include the Treasury issues under those terms of reference.
Thank you very much. Is it pressing?
That is one, but also we've asked that you paid yourself 2.6 million. How frequent are you going to pay yourself? himself that amount of money. Is he going to even endanger the little amount of money which is in the bank there?
You are asking an unfair question for him to respond. Sure. He's not remunerating himself. That should go to... Okay, Cuban, maybe you might want
to... Sure. The Reserve Bank approves the rates that the curator is allowed to charge. That $2.6 million is a monthly fee. It might differ from month to month. It might go up, it might go down. I think it would be fair to say that the first month would have cost much more because there were certain... we had to take a copy of the server, all of those sorts of things. But it's a monthly fee. The team of 12 people that have been appointed by the curator, that's for all of those fees. In some months it may be higher. I should tell you now that the forensic investigation is going to cost even more. Right? The law says that it's for the account of the bank. Right? We will do this because it increases our probability of recovering money to pay back the depositors. Right? At the moment, there are 390 million rand worth of retail deposits outstanding and 24 million in the bank. If you don't do a decent job on the curatorship, if you don't get the right skills in place, if you aren't able to put the right types of investigation, including at some point criminal investigation, you reduce the recoverability in the bank. And so, yes, you've got to spend money to be able to recover those amounts. Thanks, Chair.
Let's, Honorable Shivambu, let's reserve the opinions as and when they have not recovered money to see whether there was value for money. For now, it will be preemptive to come to a conclusion that it will not. So let's reserve. You will say the same comment at a later stage. Maybe we'll even hold them accountable beyond that. Honorable members, we're going to take... We're not going to discuss the resolution on SAA. The chair will have to present what was before him because it was not on the agenda. It was an issue that he was sliding in, which we were not ready to engage. So it's off the agenda for today. If there's a follow-up question related to the questions that you've already asked, I'm going to give honorable members 1.5 minutes each, and then 2 minutes for responses, then we close the meeting.
Chair, I'm sure the National Treasury recalls that I asked when did the National Treasury receive the legal opinion, when exactly was the circular distributed to municipalities, and could we have a copy of that legal opinion as well as the circular?
Honorable Shivambu? Okay, is Momo here?
The issue that maybe is an issue which... was raised about the African bank, right? That the bank register says that at some stage it will be disposed, preferably to a black investor. Don't you think that the longer you wait, it will be unreachable? Like there won't be any financial worth be able to finance a bank which has got assets worth 50 billion rand. Don't you think it's wiser to begin disposing components of the bank now, particularly the other banks, because it's decidedly against the competition policy or laws to have the other banks still sitting in the African bank? Can't in the immediate you release them and then allow a black investor and then time by time you then ultimately dispose the whole bank to black investors and of course with a combination of state ownership.
Okay, those are the two last questions. Roy, I don't know whether you're going to respond on behalf of
Thank you, Chair. I think the Deputy Governor said that we had, I think what was understood was that we'd received an external legal opinion. So I just want to clarify exactly the timeline events and also just highlight what Moma had said. Is that obviously we knew reasonably early that there was this problem, and as Moma highlighted, there were conflicting objectives in terms of if we had taken action immediately, that may have actually precipitated the collapse of the bank sooner rather than later. And so we went through a long process, when lawyers get involved, these things can be quite involved. I just want to highlight, just to clarify, that actually they took us to court twice. So they took us to court in late 2017. I don't remember the date exactly. And at that stage, we got substantial legal advice. And then they took it to court, obviously, again, quite a number of months later, once the curatorship had happened. So just to clarify from a timeline of events, I think the impression created that there was a long delay between the action, our knowledge of the action and the action being taken, is that there was a lot of behind-the-scenes engagements with municipalities, and I think we would be happy to highlight all of that stuff if necessary.
Yeah, thank you. On the comments that Fred has made.
Just sorry for forgetting about the Grahamstown Building Society. When you raised this the last time in March, I went and checked. And to the best of our knowledge, Grahamstown Building Society does not have any municipal deposits. I will go back and check again. Right? Because after the March... Are you breaching the law? just on African bank sale, the assets of a bank is not the purchase price, right? The purchase price is far less. At the moment, they released their financials yesterday. They've got an ROE of 9.6%, if my memory serves me correctly, right? The average bank ROE in South Africa is about 15-16%. You've got to ask yourself, if you're an investor today, why would you buy a bank with a 9% ROE when you can put your money in the shares of another bank that's giving you a 15% ROE? Right? It is our intention to sell the bank. We do want to sell it at a point at which we think it is sustainable, viable, and profitable. Right? I don't think that's in the distant future. My guess, and we must have an open and transparent process because it's public money that we put into the bank. Our preference is for black investors or broad-based investors to purchase the bank, not investors to purchase the bank.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I also want to thank you for cooperating with me in this last 5 minutes. And I need to apologize for keeping you long after lunch hour. And the team that was...